Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. Today we have back on the show, by popular demand and by my demand, frankly, Josh Henkin, who founded Ultimate Sandbag Training, which is obviously something that's a favorite in the Fitfluential community. But today, I asked Josh back on the show. We're actually going to have him on the show on a regular basis because he's so fantastic at educating on some of these topics. Today, we're doing a show specifically talking about mobility. Mobility is something that is, I'm going to say it's not mainstream yet, and this is something that my trainer has focused on with me in my training, and it has made, I'm going to say, a life-changing impact on my body, my training, everything, my range of motion. And I think it's a very misunderstood concept and word. And therefore, I thought, what a great way for us to educate on this with a podcast. We're also going to have a corresponding kind of mobility 101 piece that we'll link to on fitfluential.com. But really what we're going to be talking about is, you know, what is mobility? Why is it important? Why is it not just stretching or, you know, jogging in place before your workout? What does mobility do for you? Why is your range of motion something that is so important? There's so many other questions that we cover. And Josh is, I think, really good at breaking it down for you. And again, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that are listening, please, if you've been watching my story for a while and seeing in particular my transformation that has happened in the gym in the past 3 or 4 months, I can tell you right now, I'm going to say that 50% of that is the mobility work I'm doing. I kid you not. I think it's that important. It's been that game changing. I would never, ever go back to not focusing on mobility that I do for myself based on my needs before every single training session. So I hope you enjoy this session with Josh Henkin on mobility. Tune in and enjoy. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I have the legendary Josh Henkin with me again. Welcome back, Josh. You ready to go?
Oh, I appreciate it. If you call me legendary, I'm ready to go anytime.
Yeah. I have mad love for you and your company and all you do. And it's an increasing love because it's really hitting me personally in my fitness journey more and more because of, I guess I'm going to articulate this in my own way. I feel like the style of training and your focus on mobility and really everything that is a fundamental component of what Ultimate Sandbag Training is, like that is, it's so integrated and now into what I'm doing with my trainer here in Austin. And it's transforming my life and my body like never before. You know, I mentioned to you before we started recording, like, I can't wait to see you in person because I've made such progress, but it's, I know that a big reason, and this is what we're going to talk about today on the show on the subject of mobility, a big reason why I am seeing such tremendous progress is A, I give full credit to my trainer, Blaine, who is an amazing individual. I thank God for him every day, but because he focuses on me and working on mobility. And I've never had such a focus. I was exposed to this several years ago. I ignored it. I regret that I ignored it. And now that I'm focusing on this, I feel like I'm almost aging backwards because of this focus on mobility. So I'm excited that we're going to do this kind of deep dive into mobility. And of course, we'll talk about some Ultimate Sandbag Training at the end as well, because it's the most awesome thing on the planet. In fact, as an aside, for those of you that were watching me on my social media channels, the past couple of weeks I was out in Phoenix and I forgot to pack my Ultimate Sandbag when I went with me. And I was so ticked off because I could not get in the intense workouts. I didn't have access to a gym like I thought I was going to. And when you have an ultimate sandbag, you can pack it with you. You can obviously take the sand out or the water. And because you can refill it when you go with sand or water, I mean, what could be more brilliant than that? And I was so sad that I left my sandbag at home. I actually put it up on social media several times. And Josh, I will never let that happen again.
Well, just we'll excuse it this one time because you're so complimentary, but you know.
I just want to thank you again for making these, like, not only is it an amazing product, and he's not telling me to say this, you guys, for those of you that have been following me for a while, I've been using the sandbag training forever, and it's going to kick your ass more so than you will think. You could do more with the sandbag and it will get your heart rate up. It's going to sculpt muscles. It will help your mobility. It really just does everything. So, you know, I sound a little bit like an infomercial, but I'm okay with that because...
And that check hasn't cleared yet, has it?
Exactly. Ping me later on that. Yeah. Well, let's dive right in, folks. For everybody that, if you're tuning in and you're kind of like, mobility, what's that all about? Or if you're like me, probably 3 or 4 years ago, I was actually having some challenges, shocking, in my fitness journey and my training, and I was frustrated. I didn't know at the time that I was hormonally challenged, that I had all these issues. I hadn't gotten my blood work done, and Dr. Mike Roussel had actually recommended that I connect with somebody he knew, and this was a gentleman named Todd Bumgardner, and I remember he had created this program for me, and he's like, I want you to do this mobility work before you train, and he wrote everything out for me, and I'm like, why would I want to spend all this time warming up? This is dumb. And I, you know, it was like farmer's walk and all this stuff. And I'm like, I want to get to the workout. Like, to me, I viewed mobility and the mobility warm up, that's what they called it back then, as a waste of time. I thought, well, you're supposed to stretch when you're done with your workout. That's what you do. So I was completely clueless, you guys. And I'm going to let Josh start by correcting me, because here's what I know, Josh. A lot of our listeners are women, and a lot of them are going to be in that mindset that I was, where they either hear mobility, they don't understand what it means. They also think that maybe it's just stretching, and maybe stretching is something you do just before your workout, and you know, you kind of bend over, grab your toes, and you stretch when you're finished. Help us, for those that are just newbies or idiots like I was 5 years ago, what is mobility and why is it important? No pressure there, but
well, no, I don't think, you know, you should say you're dumb at all, because I mean, it's overwhelming the amount of information people are fed with fitness, and can be really confusing, and words seem to change randomly, and people don't understand what we're talking about. So I think it's actually our job as fitness professionals to help educate the mainstream upon why they're doing this, what the words mean, and so forth. It sort of reminds me, like, core is not just another word for abs. It's actually referencing something very different. True. So with mobility, like, I think what you said is very true. A lot of people just sort of assume it's just a fancy word for flexibility, and they assume it's just stretching. But the easiest way to think of mobility is, you know, where stretching is sort of, you just take your body through a range of motion, and you're looking at, you know, how pliable the muscles are. Mobility is how well you can control that range of motion. So it's very different, because, you know, for example, a lot of people I've dealt with, both men and women, that do a lot of yoga, which, you know, tend to focus more on stretching. I know not every yoga, but the ones that do, they can get very flexible, but they have bad mobility because they can't control that flexibility. So what ends up happening is they have a lot of issues with backs and knees and shoulders, because even though they're very flexible, they don't have control over that. So mobility is different, where we're trying to teach people how to control their range of motion. And why that's relevant for anyone is that, you know, first and foremost, if you hurt, your desire to train is not going to be there. I mean, a lot of people are making themselves do something in exercise that isn't generally comfortable in the first place. Now, if you put yourself where you're hurting all the time and trying to get yourself to work out, that's definitely a recipe for not achieving your goals, because you're going to find reasons not to work out. And mobility doesn't have to be boring or stagnant. I think a lot of people don't like stretching because they feel like, oh, I don't feel this, or I feel this, it's really uncomfortable, or I don't really see the improvement. And the big difference with mobility is that it's basically trying to connect your body more efficiently, so that when you go train, you can be stronger, you can do more, and you can do it while feeling better. So the payoff is huge, and you don't have to spend an incredible amount of time of it. Generally, we'll have people do like 10 minutes of mobility before they train, and they get so much more out of their training. And that time during their sort of warm up, they're able to actually really connect with their bodies and feel that specific difference. Did that make sense?
It absolutely does. And I will, you know, I think it's actually pretty cool that we can use me as like, I'm the interviewer, right? But we can always use me and my personal story as an example so that people know this isn't just like a concept that's out there that, you know, you can read all the fitness articles in the world, but if you're not really like having it get really driven home, if you're not really getting like, having that aha moment, it's not going to do anything for you. And for me with mobility, I can tell you, again, people that have been following me for a while know that my fitness journey has been going on for a long, long time. And when I first started training here in Austin with my trainer, this was, I think, in June. And if you go back and you look at and I'm going to make sure that when we put a post up, with this episode, Josh, we'll put up a post and link to it on fitfluential.com specifically about mobility. And I'll share some pictures of me before and after. And the reason I'm saying before and after is I firmly believe, I never thought I would say this, my trainer making me focus on this mobility because I had so many issues, probably because I never focused on taking care of my body and I wasn't working with the trainer in the past. So I didn't realize how my bad form was really bad form. I didn't realize how my lack of focus on mobility and trying to prevent injury was really setting me up for not necessarily injury. And this is maybe a good point to address, Josh. Even though I wasn't injured, you know, I haven't had any broken bones or you know, I haven't had anything sprained or anything where I've had to go to the doctor and go, okay, I'm injured. We all want to avoid injury. But what I didn't realize is over years of training with poor form, without a trainer guiding me, I feel very strongly about that. I was developing, you know, tight muscles, fascia buildup, just poor, like you said, range of motion. And I wasn't even aware of it. You know, it's kind of like I didn't realize how jacked my neck was till I went recently to a chiropractor and saw my x-rays. And then I started looking at how I stood in the mirror and the pictures he took of me. Do you think that there's a lot of people like me of all ages that are walking around, number one, not knowing that their range of motion is extremely limited, probably not realizing how much, although they're not injured, they're probably, for lack of a better way of saying, like you could have really jacked tight hamstrings and calves like me, and it could be prohibiting your progress in the gym because it makes it, in my case, it hurt for me to do forward lunges because I always had pain behind my knees. So I didn't do forward lunges. You tend to avoid things that hurt. Do you think there's a lot of people out there suffering and they don't realize they can fix that?
Oh, sure. I think, you know, there's a ton of people. I mean, I think your situation is super common. And again, it goes back to our industry doing a better job of educating people. And, you know, there's such a wide variance in fitness upon, you know, the quality of trainer too. I'm glad you found someone really good because at the end of the day, yes, a lot of people, you know, they go, that hurts. And the instant reaction, even sometimes by the trainers, let's not do that. Rather going, why does that hurt?
Yep.
That shouldn't hurt. And so what ends up happening is while you may sort of bypass that exercise temporarily, you're not solving the bigger problem of what's causing you pain when you move. And so what that starts to do is it starts to accumulate over time and then you get, you know, more and more problems and you go, well, this exercise thing for me isn't for me because now I have a bad neck, I have a bad shoulder, I have a bad knee. And then you get obviously and understandably very frustrated. So, you know, the biggest difference with mobility, I think, is again, it's getting people to understand what that really means because it's such a confusing term. There's a lot of fitness professionals that don't understand. They do sort of just these random movements and they don't understand what they are and they call them mobility. What you're really trying to accomplish is that the body moves in very specific coordinated and patterns, meaning that we actually integrate very specific muscles together to perform any type of movement we do in life. And so, for example, we sit most of our day, right? Mm. And so we sit in chairs, hopefully, most of us. and our chairs, you know, have a back to them. And so what ends up happening is whenever our body is artificially supported, the body goes, man, I can chill out. I don't have to work as hard. Because the body's always worried about survival. It doesn't care how we look in our bathing suits. It doesn't care how we look at dinner parties. It's thinking about survival. And so it's more efficient to not have to work as hard if something else is doing the work for us. So these deep intrinsic core muscles turn off. And why that's important is that dictates a lot of our mobility. So this whole idea of core is basically really what we're talking about is what has to do with stabilizing our spine. Because again, like I just said, we're thinking about survival. So, you know, rewind 3,000 years ago, if we hurt our spine in the wild, we'd be pretty much toast, right? We'd be eaten by something, or we wouldn't be able to survive very long because our spine is so integral to how we move and function. And that's why a lot of injured animals, unfortunately, you know, they fall behind and bad things happen. So, you know, so why that's relevant to what you're talking about is if we're sitting all day or sitting a large amount of time and these core stabilizers shut off and then we go try to do an activity, our body tries to protect itself. So it's such to shut down the range of motion of our hamstrings, our hips, our shoulders, and we start using the wrong muscles, stressing the wrong structures because our body is just trying to protect itself while we're working out. And then we start having those knee problems and those back problems and those shoulder and neck problems because we're loading the wrong structures because those muscles are turned off. And the goal of mobility is not just to increase range of motion like flexibility, but to increase, you know, to waken up a lot of those muscles that fall asleep because of our culture. And there's an old therapeutic concept that it's called, I'll make this the easier way. I'll tell you the saying and then I'll break this down really easy. It's proximal stability creates distal mobility. And basically all that means is that if those deep core stabilizers that protect my spine turn back on, then all of a sudden my body goes, sweet, and then allows my shoulders to move better, my hips move better. That's why if you've ever had someone like, you know, stretch their hamstring because it's tight and it feels like Groundhog's Day every time they stretch, like it's the same tightness all the time, it could be that's a core stability issue and not a hamstring issue. And the hamstring issue is just showing up to try to protect the low back because the core doesn't feel stable. The body's going, no, I don't want you to move. I don't want you to move. And then shuts it down. So that's why stretching isn't the most effective way to always improve movement quality. And that's why it's not always even the most effective way to address those injury issues. But to something else you said, you know, a lot of us don't address these things until we experience the problems. We're like, oh, yeah, I know I should be doing that. But, you know, I don't have a lot of time to work out today. So I'm going to get into my workout and I'm going to do that. Or, you know, yeah, I don't feel like spending time on that today. I'm just going to get into my workout. And without fail, people's workouts are never as good. And so, you know, what I always tell people, you're better off, even if you're in time crunch, is cutting down some of your workout than giving up that mobility section. Because, you know, what we know from research is that exercise is about a cumulative effort, not just a single session. So it doesn't matter how badass that single session was. It's if it wasn't good quality and you're actually breaking your body down so that you hurt the next workout or you do something like that, and you miss a couple of workouts as a byproduct, then you're not actually achieving your fitness goal because really it is about that consistent effort versus that one big badass workout that you do. And mobility is a big way of making sure that you can train consistently over time.
You just brought up something that I specifically remember Mike saying to me and Joe Dowdell and...
I don't like any of those guys.
And I remember that, and Todd, he was like, you know, he said exactly the way you did. He's like, you should, they all said, how did you say it? You're like, don't cut out your mobility, cut down your workout. Cause that's, and I remember I'd roll my eyes cause I just, sure. I thought, and I also had the mindset you did. And a lot of women listening, this is why I'm using myself as an example, ladies. If you're listening and you're like me and you have weight loss goals, you've been at a plateau, you really want to, you know, whatever you call it, tone up, lean up, build muscle, whatever. And you're looking to lean out, you're typically going to have a mindset where you think more is better when it comes to exercise. And you'll typically also have a mindset of, well, if I'm not hitting my goals, I'm going to eat less and I'm going to train harder. And I used to be that, Josh, you had said, you know, I love this. Exercise is a cumulative effort. It's not that one badass workout. I felt like I had to make every workout. And Valerie Waters, I know you and she are friends as well. I think actually you guys connected me to each other somewhere that happened. But she also would focus, and she does in all of her workout programs, focuses on mobility at the beginning. And I'm like, Valerie, what's with the leg kicking? This is stupid. I'm not in, you know, the can girls. I'm just trying to work out. But it's so important. And I disregarded it because I was so focused on making my workout a really badass, hardcore, long workout. I had to have tons of cardio, tons of sweating, and no stretching. And that's typically what I did. I really work out hard, all isolation movement. I know you have to be rolling your eyes now. All isolation training with that meathead bodybuilder kind of guiding me. And then I'd go on the stair mill and I'd go do like 45 minutes of cardio. I'd get off. I'd make maybe stretch for 5 minutes, like calf stretch, and then I'd leave.
Right.
And so that was my world. And I can tell you again, at ladies, fast forward to today, the only air quotes cardio that I do, 20 minutes of HIIT training, I'm doing the least amount of air quotes cardio. And the reason I say air quotes is my heart rate gets up in my workouts quite a lot. And I do rowing and stuff like that when I'm training with Blaine, but it'll be in between other things. But I'm telling you, I'm doing less cardio, more mobility than I've ever done in my life. And it is customized for me and my issues, which are many. I've never seen my body change in such a favorable way than I have at 48. I am more flexible, I have better range of motion. I can do more in the gym because of that mobility. I've been posting about this and I'm seeing more and more women, I'm sure men are posting too, but I'm really seeing more and more women posting about this, like, wow, I have a trainer and he's really got me focusing on mobility and it's changing everything for me. I saw just a post the other day. Are you starting to see, Josh, I don't feel like this is mainstream enough yet that, you know, I do think you and I are passionate about educating on mobility and we'll do that together. But I really don't feel like a lot of folks, like, this is a mainstream approach yet. Do you see more people starting to embrace mobility as a necessary, I almost said necessary evil, as a necessary, you know, addition to their fitness practice?
You bring up an interesting point because I wasn't rolling my eyes, but I was kind of chuckling to myself about, you know, when things get popular in this industry, because it's like, you know, you're mentioning HIIT training and we could have a whole section on that. Like people do HIIT wrong all the time and they don't even realize they're doing it because they think about HIIT training is about getting their heart rate up and HIIT training is actually about something very different. And I think mobility falls in that same category that people hear this term and they don't really understand it. They see some drills and then they go in the gym, they start just doing these exercises and they don't understand what they're trying to achieve with them. They don't feel it. And I always tell people, especially when I lecture to fitness professionals and therapists, that it's not very understandable. You know, most people gauge the value of an exercise or a methodology based upon what they feel. And mm-hmm. sometimes it can be hard to, you know, what am I supposed to be feeling during this? And, you know, that's actually what we use our Ultimate SandBag for a lot, is we're using it not as a weight, but as a feedback tool to teach people how to connect their bodies. And so if you do the right thing and you make the right connections, then you should have almost instantaneous results in how you move and how you feel. And I think that's very different than flexibility, where, yeah, people stretch and they feel a little bit better here and there, but there's not that big bang change. And so as long as you're keying into really understanding what mobility is and you're keying on specific movements and teaching your body how to connect to itself, then you get this big result that encourages you to do it more. If you're just sort of doing these drills that you see on social media or the internet, and you're like going to the gym, you're just like, I don't really feel this, it doesn't seem to impact my workout, then of course you're not going to want to stick with it because it seems like kind of a waste of your time. And so that's why, like, we tell people, like, if you can do 10 minutes and you really find those exercises and you understand how to connect the body, then it makes it, you know, one, very much something you'll keep doing because you immediately see the impact that it has upon your body. And two, you actually do, like, you know, start actually getting your heart rate up. Your body starts, you know, warming up. It's a much more efficient way to warm up. And then, like I said, you get so much more out of that training, because if you don't do it, then you spend like half your workout actually trying to warm up. And the workout isn't what it was going to be anyway. So there's definitely a benefit to doing the mobility. And I think it's, you know, going to be one of those things, like, yes, it's going to get bigger, but you got to be careful that people actually understand what they're trying to do with it. Because otherwise it becomes that waste of time and people just, they'll wait till the next thing comes. They're like, oh yeah, you know, it might work for some people, but this doesn't work for me. While all the time, they just didn't understand how to really apply it and what they were trying to achieve. And that's where our job is, to give people better exercises to teach them how, so they don't have to overthink it. They can go and actually do the big bang for their buck exercises that they're like, oh my God, I feel that. I understand why that's important. I want to do this more often.
You brought up, I'm always writing notes when people are talking and I'm interviewing them, because they bring up so many great points. You made a really good point about warming your body up. And that's one of the things that I have realized. It's funny, because when Blaine had me first start doing some mobility work at the beginning, it was because, you know, like our first couple of sessions, it was more of like a fitness test almost, where he's like, let me see how low you can squat. And then he did a face palm. He's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Like, I thought I was badass. I was like, I'm around fitness people all the time. I work out at home. What are you talking about? I know what I'm doing. And I had no idea. how tight my hamstrings were and how that was affecting my range of motion, how bad my squat was because I was like so hunched over because of hamstring and calf issues and everything being so connected. But we started with a certain amount of moves because of my issues. And then we added. So progressively we've added more things. And I have found, much to my surprise, that I really like the mobility part. I mean, frankly, if my training session with Blaine is at 1 o'clock, I show up at the gym at 12:25, put my bag away, and I dedicate half an hour to all that mobility work because number one, it starts to feel good when you can see your, again, it's both flexibility and range of motion, even just while you're doing the mobility work. But then just to what you said, Josh, you are actually warmed up and you're going to feel, you don't have to spend your workout feeling like, oh my God, I'm still tight. My muscles are cold. It's going to help you there as well. Again, ladies, if you're listening to this, it has been, I almost want to say life-changing for me to have really incorporated a focus on mobility. My next question then for you, Josh, based on people that are listening, this is, I'm going to put out like a two-folded question because I'm thinking of everybody listening and they're probably going to go, okay, I realize this is important. And if they're not doing it, maybe they work out at home. Maybe they work out at their gym. There's a lot of people that don't work out at a gym or they don't have a trainer. Maybe they're going to be going and buying an ultimate sandbag after this and saying, let me get started. Here's my first question. For everybody that's listening, is there, you guys do a ton of educational videos. And we'll link up to all of this, by the way, you guys, on fitfluentialradio.com. Josh has dedicated, he and his team have done a ton of educational videos. But for people that are getting started, you know, for me, the moves that I do to warm up and my mobility work, it's kind of custom or particular for me. Are there any moves that are universal that you would suggest people that we could potentially link up to in the notes that everybody could start with, right? Like, hey, if you're a beginner, this is, you know, here's 5 to 10 minutes of things pretty much everybody could do that's going to help you loosen up, improve that range of motion and get your body in a better state.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, having done this for over 20 years and having had my fair share of injuries from, you know, even age 14, you know, it's really, you start to see a trend. And most people in general, they need core stability, they need hip mobility, and they need thoracic spine mobility. And if you hit sort of those, you know, three components and they're very much interrelated, then all of a sudden you'll fix, or I won't say fix, but you'll improve 95% of the people out there. It's really not a mystery. You look at our culture, you look at the things that we prioritize. It's not that hard to figure out that most people actually have very similar issues when it comes to mobility. The core, you know, we always start with the core stability part because of what I said earlier, that basically it's hard to free up the rest of the body if we don't have those intrinsic core muscles working. And just so everyone understands, I'm not talking about, you know, the obliques or the rectus abdominis that most of us think of when we think of like abs. We're talking about a lot of the ones like multifidus or pelvic floor, not those muscles you go, hey, you know, your multifidus is looking pretty sweet today.
Someone just said that to me yesterday.
Yeah, so you got a smart person there. But like, these are deep reflexive muscles that should turn on automatically, but because we sit a lot or we have injury, they tend to turn off. And so what we want to do is do exercise to turn them back on. So things like dead bugs and bird dogs and side planks are very much integrated in that. And it's not just doing those exercises, but it's trying to get those chains again. I'll give you a quick example. When I talk to, you know, fitness professionals all the time, I say, what's the most fundamental movement we all do as human beings? And I'll hear things like squat or deadlift or their favorite exercise. And then I bring up, you know, it's that we walk and that our bodies are first and foremost designed for locomotion. We're designed to walk and run, which is a very unique human movement. And now that's confusing to people because no one goes to the gym and go, you know what, today's going to be a badass walking workout. You know, we're trained traditionally to, you know, focus on muscles, but that's not just how our body moves and functions. And so, you know, in that regard, if you start changing your mindset to that, you'll understand things like, for example, notice that our opposite limbs move together when we walk or we run. And it's not the same side. You look kind of funny. You can try. You try to walk around your house moving the same side of limbs, and it feels very strange.
Yeah.
And it's not an accident that our body does that, because walking is, you know, 60 to 70% of our time walking is on one leg. And so it's a very unstable movement. So our spine needs that stability. And so what ends up happening is Our lats work with our glutes via our core to create spinal stability. So if you know that, then you know you want to connect those lats, core, and glutes together when we do an exercise, because ultimately, most of the time, they're very disconnected in people. And that's why people have bad hips, they have bad shoulders, they even have back pain, because they can't create spinal stability because those chains aren't working together. So that's why, when, for example, when we do a dead bug, and just so people can imagine what I'm talking about, they've never done one, is they may have seen someone laying on their back and their feet are off the ground, their arms are up, and the opposite leg and arm move back from one another. And the whole goal is to show pelvic control, that your pelvis doesn't move while your extremities move, something that we do in walking. And so, but unfortunately, a lot of people, when they do dead bugs, they don't understand what they're supposed to feel because they have no feedback, and they just end up flailing around. They're like, this is stupid, I don't feel this. And that's why, you know, for example, with our Ultimate Sandman, we tell people, like, pull the outside handles apart to create tension. That tension all of a sudden engages the lats and core, and all of a sudden they feel what they're supposed to be actually trying to achieve. And so the outcomes become so much better, and they have to do so fewer reps to actually achieve those same outcomes. You know, we could say the same thing in a bird dog. That's why in a bird dog, you'll see opposite limbs move when people are in that quadruped position. We're trying to emulate what we do in everyday motion. And so again, a lot of people, they bail into their pelvis, they feel it in their backs, and so they don't feel it. And that's why we'll use our Ultimate Sandman to create feedback and tension. And tension, I tell a lot of people, is stability, and stability is strength, and that will improve that mobility. And that's why, you know, if you've ever done let's say a contract relax stretch, where, you know, you get to a stretch, you contract a lot of tension, then you relax into it, you get better mobility, because your flexibility is ultimately determined by your nervous system, not necessarily just your muscles. It's probably more so your nervous system, your brain going, it's okay to move there. And so a lot of times when we do these exercises, it's that, what do we want people to understand about the movement to actually get more out of them? Because again, if people don't feel them or they're not getting a result from them, they're just not going to do them. And I understand that completely. But you only have to do about 3 to 4 really concentrated movements really well. And we're not trying to create massive amounts of fatigue. We're just doing about, you know, 4 or 5 reps, because we're just trying to get the body going. If we create all this fatigue, then it's not going to carry over to your training really well. But your heart rate will go up. You'll feel your body start going and getting warm, because it's sort of the old joke. I'm embarrassed that when I started training when I was like 19. And, you know, a lot of trainers in the gym, they'll put their clients, you know, hey, Jody, go on the treadmill for 10 minutes. I'll be right with you. That's not really a warm up. That's like the trainer getting a 10-minute break in between clients. You know, yeah, the client feels warmer, but that wasn't good for them. That, you know, that was just the trainer being, you know, and I've done it, you know, lazy. And, you know, we need that 10 minutes to get our mind right, because we just had 8 clients in a row. And we should do a better job. And it doesn't take much for people to get that big benefit, but they have to have purpose with what they're doing. Otherwise, again, they'll get frustrated and they'll just be like, I don't feel this. I don't feel like I'm improving. This is not for me. So again, it's not just about going, oh, I need to do this. It's understanding, what are you trying to do? So again, a lot of core stability will open up a door for so many things. And when you get that core stability going through those exercises, you're also creating that mobility. So then, you know, you all of a sudden you'll see your thoracic spine, and people aren't knowing what I'm talking about. You know, your spine has 3 segments. Your cervical, obviously, is kind of your neck area, your lumbar, which is kind of that low back, and your middle is your thoracic. And your thoracic area is supposed to have a lot of movement. Your lumbar doesn't. So that's why, like, you know, when people do Russian twists, like I always say, no one's ever done Russian twists, stood up and go, man, my back feels awesome. Because your low back is not meant for a lot of rotation. That's why it sits upon your hips. And those hips are those ball and socket joints. They're supposed to have a lot of movement. But if you don't have a lot of movement in it, you'll go up into your low back, and that's where people get low back pain. So by increasing your thoracic mobility, your hip mobility, you're actually saving that low back from trying to do something it's not supposed to do, because it's not designed to do it. So again, mobility can be super simple. And I think when people like look at a lot of stuff online, they get overwhelmed by all the exercises. And some people give very intricate exercises, and it doesn't need to be very complicated. You know, like we give cues to our clients all the time, like no saggy back, and people can understand that, or tension in the handles. And grab that, versus like, hey, you need to get about 20 degrees of rotation at thoracic spine. And people are like, what the hell do you want me to do? And so it gets really frustrating really quickly, versus just trying to get people feedback so they understand how to move, versus, you know, trying to give them these overly complicated cues, and then they can feel it, they feel good about it, and they'll tend to do it more consistently.
I will say, you know, this has been something I've become, I probably the past couple of months, and the more that I'm recording our interviews, I'm bringing this point up a lot, because I really believe in it. I've become more and more convinced how important it is, this is my opinion, of course, for people to invest in working with a certified personal trainer, working with a guide who can, you know, we talked about, we referenced earlier, you know, HIIT workout. People, they don't really know what it is, which, by the way, Josh, we should have that be one of our shows. We'll talk about that. But, and it made me also think of, you know, on the food side of things, people go, oh yeah, well, I'm supposed to just go low carb, right? And they don't really know what low carb is necessarily, or why, what a low carb diet approach would work and what would be important for them. They just think low carb, oh, I'm supposed to just not eat bread, or, oh, I'm supposed to just not eat donuts on Friday. You know, and so they're applying something because they don't understand it. And they're inappropriately or inaccurately applying it to their lives. They don't see results, so then they give up. And when you were talking about so many of these moves and the input that you provide, I just think, again, it's, I really want to drive this home to everybody that's out there. I think times are a changing. And I think 10, 20 years ago, it used to be that when people talked about a personal trainer, it was like, oh yeah, that'd be cool. I'll buy a personal training session so I can know how to use all the machines at the gym. And that was it. Like, people thought it was a fluffy fitness thing. And it's kind of like a massage. They think, oh, that's only for people with a lot of money. Well, no, massage is a treatment. I mean, when I go and I get body work done, it's not really even pleasurable anymore. It's helping me, you know, work on my body. With a trainer, when you can actually have somebody watching you and point out to you, like you said, with the dead bug, Josh, you know, like, this is what you're supposed to be feeling. This is where you're supposed to feel it. This is what you should be focusing on. It's a game changer when you're the individual doing that move, and then you can feel like, oh my God, you're right. I do feel that in my back. I mean, the number of times when I, and this is again why I'm so grateful for Blaine, my trainer here, is, you know, we'll do something and he's like, no. And he'll correct me, but I'll stop and I'm asking him why. Show me what I was doing so that I can understand what I was doing wrong. And then when he explains, you know, well, this is what you were doing and what happens when you stand that way, you know. And it's funny, you mentioned core. We were walking by the Smith machine and he's like, we're never going to use that. I'm never going to ever train anybody. And he talked about wanting the core stability. Everything we do is about core stability. And again, it's not abs related necessarily, but I've made such improvement in that area. And I notice it in all parts of my body when you have better core strength. So I'm kind of getting off on a tangent, but here's what my question is for you on the importance of working or getting guidance from a certified individual, a certified trainer. You have trainers that are certified in, I mean, you have a pretty aggressive certification program, which we promote to our ambassadors and folks that are looking to get certified. So I'm curious if Sally is listening to the show, I'm just saying, like, Sally, and she's in Columbus, Ohio, or Bob is listening and he's in San Diego. Is there a way, I'm sure it's probably easier than I realized, that people, if they wanted to get connected with some of your trainers that are certified, because obviously if you've certified them, these could be some great folks for them to connect with. Is there a way for them to look up, you know, Ultimate Sandbag certified professionals?
Yeah, I mean, we have a page dedicated to our certified professionals, but people are always more than welcome to just email us to the website and go, hey, I'm in this area. Do you have someone there? Because I'll be very honest, like, I'd love to say, you know, just hiring a trainer is a great move, but, you know, I talk about all the time, again, we do a lot of continuing education for both therapists and fitness professionals. Like, when I ask them, I go, hey, if your mom said you just hired a personal trainer, would you be excited or kind of nervous? And the very honest truth is, like, even as a professional, you have a lot of apprehension because there's not this agreed upon standardized, you know, quality control on trainers. I mean, the entry point to being a personal trainer is pretty low. So you could have, you know, someone who's incredibly brilliant, and then you could have, you know, like I said, I was an 18-year-old kid, you know, or even 25. The age doesn't really matter. It's just the knowledge. And so it's really hard to tell people, hey, you should look for this. And that's why, you know, one of my major motivations in doing our certification was not to be a user's course on our Ultimate Sandbag, but to provide people with education on what is proper movement, how do you teach it, how do you get people, you know, faster results. Because, you know, let's call it how it is. And a lot of, I'm sure a lot of your listeners can talk about horror stories about working with a trainer And you know, that, like we talked about earlier, before we got on the call, like, you know, then they write off that completely, because I don't blame them. They're like, that sucked. That was horrible. I used to get a ton of referrals, or clients from people that had gone to trainers and got injuries from them. They're like, you know, I'm really apprehensive about this. You know, I've done this before and I got injury, and man, I felt so bad for them, because people are dedicating hard earned money towards that. And I'd love to say, hey, if you just look for this, it'll be okay. You know, it's really hard to tell people. So, you know, you definitely, they can email us to our website and just be a smart consumer, you know, ask for referrals, ask, you know, what other, what do their clients think of them? And, you know, what, if you're in a commercial gym setting, and you're thinking about training, watch the trainer. Like, do they interact with the people well? Do they have a professional mannerism about them? Do they, you know, talk to their clients that they're working with and see what their experiences are? Because there's nothing more frustrating to me that people, you know, try to do the right thing and they just don't get rewarded by it, because it just, unfortunately, you got stuck with the wrong professional.
You make a really, actually, that's a really great point. I have been really, really, I don't want to say lucky. I've been very blessed. My first trainer, Jay, up in Chicago, was, you know, one of the very good ones, very focused. And the way that I can tell a trainer is a joke is if, you know, they're person is on the machine and they're like looking at their phone or looking around the gym. I mean, my Jay was always like that. He would adjust my foot 1 inch to the left, and he would explain why, you know, my body was trying to go in the comfort zone. And Blaine is obviously exceptional. So I think one of the points that you bring up is that, yeah, there are some great trainers. There are a lot of, you know, bottom feeders out there. And what is probably an important takeaway here is exactly what we'd encourage folks to do when they're seeing a doctor, when they're going to look for, you know, help on, we have a lot of women that are, again, looking to deal with massive hormonal imbalances, Hashimoto's, hypothyroidism, all those kinds of things. When you go see a doctor, or in this case, when you're hiring a trainer, you need to be interviewing them. Yeah, just as absolutely. You don't just go and say, I want to buy a package. I mean, when I first sat down with Blaine at Gold's Gym, I mean, he did an hour and a half assessment with me, and then he told me what his plan was for me. And I'm like, I remember he said the first month, he goes, we're going to focus on mobility. I'm like, that's boring. And I'm so glad I committed, you know, I committed to 90 days and he was chosen for me. I can't wait to get him on the show, but you definitely want to interview, see what they're going to ask you, see how much time they're going to invest in you, and make sure you feel comfortable that this is somebody who's really going to pay attention to you, customize that training for you. Because I'll tell you what, when you get the right trainer, somebody that really knows the importance of all of these things, it can change your life. So we will link up to that in the show. We will definitely, I'm going to follow up with Josh, and we're going to grab some of his materials, combine it with some of ours, and do maybe a post on Fitfluentials to tie in with this on like Mobility 101, maybe, I think would be pretty cool. So Josh, I'll follow up with you on that. For those, again, that are listening, we're going to have Josh back on the show regularly. I've already confirmed that. I basically handcuffed him and said, you have to come back on the show every month. But honestly, he's truly, I think, one of the greatest individuals in the fitness space. Just a man of integrity. And I know that he and everybody that he trains are some of the best of the best. And of course, it goes without saying, his ultimate sandbag and that style of training. I hope I'm saying that's the way I call it, a style of training. It's intense. I can't recommend it enough. It goes with you. I'm sorry, I'm kind of losing my voice here. But Josh, for those, as we wrap up today, tell everybody that's listening for the first time, you know, where they can find out about you, the ultimate sandbag, how they can email you, if they want questions about your trainers. And I guess that was it.
Sure. I mean, I appreciate that greatly. I mean, you know, when we created this, we weren't trying to create a fitness product. We were trying to create a solution. And you know, the problem was that a lot of people were just lifting weights without understanding how to use their bodies. So we wanted to develop a tool that gave people a lot of, you know, flexibility and versatility in what they were doing, but also great enhance the purpose and intent in which they do that with. So it's not just about lifting just another weight. We have a very specific way we perform all the exercises, that we progress the exercises, and that we use our implement. And so all that is to tie back into people getting better connected with their bodies, understanding how to use their bodies more efficiently. And that's where the results come from. So people can check out, you know, we have a blog with tons of free articles at dvrtfitness.com. DVRT is our training system. So that's dynamic variable resistance training. Because again, you know, when people say, oh, I love sandbag training, I go, oh, like, how do you do it? And they're like, there's very specific protocols we use, but it's not complicated. It's actually made to be very user-friendly, but we have these protocols so that people can have a positive experience right off the bat. We know so many people, they want to be fit and they struggle with it because things are complicated or too difficult. We try to meet people where they're at. So the nice thing about having a system versus just exercises is that you can decide your own starting point and where you're going with it. And then if people want to, you know, they can email us through the website. If they don't see the page, there's a certification page, but it can be hard to find. I understand. We have a contact page right on the, you know, website that people can email us, go tell us where they're at. And, do we have a trainer in that area? And again, we have lots of free digital resources that, you know, we could offer people too, that gives them an idea of what, you know, how we're different and what we're doing to really change people. Cause I'll be honest with you, you know, we work, like I said, with a lot of therapists and fitness professionals, and they're often shocked. They get the, you know, the palm of the head moment, which I say is a good thing, that they're like, oh my God, I didn't realize that I could create this much success with this much ease. And it's just all about understanding how the body works better. So, you know, when you train the body as it's designed to move, it's amazing how the results just get off the charts.
It really is. So as we close, first of all, Josh, thanks for coming back on the show. It's always a pleasure, and you're the bomb. But for everybody listening, I will always use myself as an example. And I encourage you, not because I'm vain. Well, I'm a little vain. You can follow me on my social channels at Kelly Alexa, and you can see what I'm sharing. Mostly you'll probably see, I tend to share most of my like post-training and my what's going on with my fitness journey on my Instagram stories. I'm going to be probably sharing more. I plan to resurrect my blog and start blogging and YouTubing again. But I challenge you, you know, if you want to watch somebody who's had a focus on mobility change everything in her fitness journey and her life, that would be me. So you can follow me. And I just can't endorse this and recommend it enough. So I hope this was valuable and educational for you. Make sure you tune in for the show notes. We'll have links to everything on fitfluentialradio.com, as well as linking to our other episode with Josh and some other sandbag workouts that we have with Josh and Ultimate Sandbag on fitfluential.com. So thanks everybody for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.